Hello there. My name's Connor McAnally, and people think I'm crazy because most weekends I throw myself out of perfectly good airplanes. Mind you, I don't agree with them. So, in the course of the next 40 minutes or so, I'd like to try to explain to you why me and my mates do this apparently crazy thing. At the moment, we're down on the drop zone. Drop zone is a very fancy title for what's basically a small grass field just outside Eden Derry in County Offaly. This is where our aircraft takes off and where we land under our parachutes. It's a little short in the way of comforts, although we do have that big mobile home to shelter us from the bad weather. But really, an aeroplane, a field and a bunch of skydivers is what makes up the sport of skydiving. Mind you, with the sort of weather we get in this country, the mobile home comes in very handy. Down here, you get all sorts of people from all walks of life. And there are jumpers with a huge range of experience, from the boy or girl nervously looking from the aircraft to the sky and back to the aircraft again, anxiously waiting for that first ever jump, to the very experienced instructors anxiously watching the weather and praying for a clear blue sky and a very light breeze. I started this game over 300 jumps and 4 years ago. Like all the members of the Irish Parachute Club, I spent 3 evenings in ground training before making that first jump. I got involved in this first because I was writing a newspaper article about the sport. After that first horrendous and momentous jump, I got hooked on the speed, the freedom, the incredible aloneness up there in the air, and I just never stopped. Of course, there are as many reasons for beginning this sport as there are people taking part in it. But to most, it's a challenge, in one form or another.
Well, I started just to see what one jump would be like. I just intended doing one, but having done one and found that I liked it, I decided to do another few. And I just kept on going because I still enjoy it.
Well, I suppose it all started many, many years ago, absolutely and totally out of curiosity. I suppose, like every schoolboy, felt a certain attraction towards, through watching films and so on, the people leaping out of planes in sort of romantic situations like invasions and so on. The basic thing must be one of curiosity, asking an internal question, would I do it myself? What would it be like?
I don't really know why I do it, because if I knew, maybe I'd stop doing it. I keep on looking for different challenges in it. I keep on looking for different types of things to do in free fall, and each of these presents a challenge to myself.
Falling on the air, having body, you know, having your body lifted, flying almost, that's what it's like. It's almost impossible to describe, because anybody who hasn't ever been in free fall, they can't really appreciate what you're trying to explain to them. They think we're flying, we think we're flying, but somewhere in the translation, we think we're flying, we know what we're talking about, where the body is just lying on the air. It's not a matter of rushing towards the ground. Someone who hasn't jumped thinks that you're up there crazily falling through the sky. We're not.
I've always wanted to just sort of fall through the air. I love to watch light aircraft. And I've always wanted to fly. So then when I heard about parachute jumping, I decided, well, it was a cheaper way of doing it.
But not all those who do one jump stay with the sport. In fact, of every 10 people trained to skydive, only one or two continue for any length of time. What's the reason for this? What's the secret of success? Irish Parachute Club Chief Instructor Noel Larrigy.
Perseverance, I think. Courage doesn't enter into it. Perseverance. Because you come out and the weekend, like this weekend, now the weather can be bad. You're sitting around, you came down to jump, you're sitting around waiting to jump, and you're nervous. There's butterflies in your tummy. The call might go up to get your gear on and go up and jump. And, okay, if you can face that after sitting around all day, that takes a little bit of perseverance, you know, to wait around and do that. Other people, they haven't got the patience to do that and leave.
And on a day like today, when the cloud is low and the winds are high, there are a variety of ways to keep occupied, to keep those butterflies in your stomach from turning into eagles and ripping your courage to shreds. Inside the mobile home, it's music and chat. And if the voices are a little strained, put that down to the tension. And outside on the field, some skydivers use the time to practice their exits from the aircraft. When a couple of people are trying to get together in the air and link up holding hands, it's absolutely vital that they leave the airplane at the exact same moment. This can only be perfected by long and tedious practice on the ground. But there's a lot you can learn on the ground, and that knowledge is very valuable. Free fall costs money, and it's an expensive way to learn.
I go out base.
You do a wheel exit from base.
Yeah. Do you want me to go off harder?
No, please? I'll be right up beside you. You just go off and then spread.
Well, are we going to go through a counter, or do you just want to go?
And we'll just do a few. We'll do a few exit practice when the plane gets done.
Yeah, because I think it's refueling this one.
But you go off a normal spread. If I have to get down to you,
yeah,
I'll just try and reduce or come down to your head first. If I come at you hard, I come at you hard.
Long before you get to mid-air link-ups, though, you have to learn all about high-performance sport parachutes. Parachutes have become very sophisticated flying machines and have to be treated with a great deal of respect. Student skydivers are full of questions about them.
If you have both arms fully up with no brakes on at all, yeah, what happens then? Are you tilted at 10 degree
angle
forward?
No, you're just canopy's doing all its work as normal, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're just sitting straight.
Yeah.
And when you've got brakes, you don't feel any sagging back. It's when you do that, whoops.
Yeah.
Because the centre of gravity of the canopy is no longer above you.
When you feel yourself going back, that means you're not just braking, you're actually stalling.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
You feel the stall. That's when you know you're stalling.
Yeah, well, when you tell us then to practice the stall and all,
yeah,
you want
well,
us to
I
do that gradually,
give you the,
or do you want us to do it?
I'll give you the routine.
Yeah, you don't want us to do it hard.
Well, the best thing for you to do would be to go out and to, number one, check canopy, number two, take the toggles and go right down to the stall.
Slowly.
Yeah, slowly down. Sink until you say, I'm going to the brakes. Stall.
Oh, yeah.
Let it off. It's trashing about in the sky. Let it settle down.
All of this keeps tension at bay. And when the weather is bad, skydiving looks like a dull, uncomfortable, boring way to spend your weekend. But it's a very different story when the weather breaks. Inside the mobile home, the reaction to a patch of blue sky is quite remarkable.
Boys, I remember the way we used to jam. If dead and we promise faithfully, we'd always drink in company. We are the
A mad scramble out the door. This is when it comes alive. People rushing around, organising their kit and getting their names down on the manifest board, planning their jumps. Because I want to take you with me on this jump to give you an idea of what free fall and parachuting is like, I'm going to need a little help with my own equipment and the special recording gear. And our producer Dick Warner has agreed to lend a hand.
It's like a queer garment you're getting up there as a jumpsuit, is it, Connor?
Yeah, that's just putting it on now. It's specifically designed as a flying machine. If you believe that, it's aerodynamically designed to slow down your rate of descent. Normally in free fall, you're falling at about 120 miles an hour. This thing will slow you down a fair amount. It'll slow you down to about 110, I think. But the thing about it is that it's full of flying surfaces. There are wing areas under your arms. The arms of the jumpsuit are wide and flared, so you've a lot of control surface to fly with when you're actually in free fall.
It makes you look a bit like Batman.
Yeah, it does. But the thing is, they're now so well designed that when you're working on a team, as I normally do, you can get each one of the team with a separate jumpsuit which suits the guy's height and weight, so that he's So he's falling at exactly, more or less exactly the same speed as the other guys, even if he's not the same weight.
Oh, so you slow up the heavy guys and speed up the light ones.
Exactly, yeah. The heavy guys wear a really big, wide jumpsuit. The light guys wear a fairly tight one. And the relative speeds of descent are equalised out, and it makes working in the air a lot easier.
You've got all those zips done up. What comes next?
Well, next on this one, we've got to put on our microphone so we can get some effects in free fall. I'm using a Sony tape recorder strapped on round my neck, and
a little light cassette player.
It's a little light little cassette machine. And I've got it strapped. I've got it around my neck and running a strap around my body as well to hold it very firmly in place.
So you're wearing it under the jumpsuit?
Under the jumpsuit, yeah, to protect it from all the wind and also to keep it out of the way of my ripcords, which is kind of important because I can't let anything obscure those. Now, there she is. And next on is these throat microphones, and these go on round the neck like so.
With two little microphones, and they're each side of your Adam's apple.
That's right. Yeah, they'll pick up my voice in free fall. Now the next thing I'm going to need a little bit of help on, and that's some surgical tape to stick these in place. I have scissors here. If you can just cut those and stick them round, for your great help.
This is going to be hell to take off.
Yeah, well, it's anything for RTE. During the tests, of course, one of the problems that we had was the throat mic slipping around and moving, and tended to distort the voice an awful lot, and we started to lose a lot of quality. Because
you're moving at some speed when you're doing this recording, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we're hitting on 120 miles an hour for most of the jump, and just before we separate and open our parachutes, then, you know, when we're tracking, we're doing about 180.
If you just tamp that down a bit yourself,
yeah,
just squeeze it into your neck.
Fine. But, you know, you're really shifting with this. And what was happening, really, was that when I was pulling the ripcord, the opening shock of the parachute just threw everything out of place.
So you're dressed and wired for sound. What comes next?
Well, next important thing is the parachute, believe it or not.
Yeah, it wouldn't be to forget that.
Yeah. If we go up and forget to put our parachute on, we're going to look very funny. My wife wouldn't appreciate it. Okay. Now, this is what's called an SST rig with a Stratostar. My main parachute's called a Stratostar. It's not like what most people would imagine a parachute to be. It's square like a mattress, and it doesn't operate on the same principle even as a parachute. It in fact is a flexible nylon wing, and it has a forward speed of 20 miles an hour. And it's that forward speed, in the same way as an aircraft, that in fact keeps the thing inflated and keeps me up there. If I lost all the forward speed, which I can do deliberately in a stall, the thing would simply stall and fall out of the sky.
It's almost like a small personal aircraft or a hang glider rather than a parachute.
Well, it is, yeah. It's more akin to a hang glider than a parachute, except that it doesn't have the kind of soaring possibilities that a hang glider would have. I mean, you can't catch a thermal and go up. I mean, it's all the time coming down. But and its descent rate, in fact, is slightly faster than your conventional parachute. but it's so well made that it can be varied, and that on the moment of landing with one of these things, it's in fact just equivalent to stepping off a bus, really, if you do it right. If you do it wrong, it's kind of like falling out of a car at 20 miles an hour.
It's quite small, this pack. It's like a small rucksack. It looks fairly light.
It is. It's only about 30 pounds weight. The main parachute itself, the Stratostar, weighs 11 pounds. And the rest of it, the reserve parachute, weighs, I think it's about 11 pounds as well. And the pack is not heavy. This is a, you know, a fairly good development in parachutes. Just in the last couple of years, they used to be very, very heavy. You used to have 35 pounds on your back and about 15 pounds on your front in the form of a reserve parachute.
What's now, that, Connor?
This is my altimeter.
It's like a huge wristwatch.
Yeah, it's like an enormous wristwatch with dials on. And it's by looking at this, I can tell exactly what height I'm at all stages throughout the jump. It's graded off from 0 to 11 in thousands of feet. And there's a big red mark, as you can see there, 2,500 feet, which is my instruction to pull this red ripcord here and get the parachute out and flying, you know.
What height will you be jumping out at today?
Well, it's hard to know. We're hoping to get up to about 6,000 feet.
So here I am, fully kitted up and ready to go. Two parachutes on my back, helmet firmly in place, and tape recorder securely strapped on. But before I can climb into the aircraft, we must settle what's to be done in free fall, for these link-ups are carefully choreographed, almost like a dance. It's vital that each of the skydivers has a clear, positive idea of what's supposed to happen. Without this planning, no jump is successful. I mean, you can't communicate in free fall.
Right, Brian, do you want to go base or pin? You haven't jumped in for a while.
Go base.
You go base.
Yeah.
Right. Do you want to just go and do a straight two-man, or, you know, we try something else afterwards?
Well, if we get the two-man fast, we could break.
Yeah.
And maybe go, I turn around, or you turn around, and I go into your legs.
You come in on my legs and put together a two-man caterpillar for
me.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you want to do... I've been going on the ready-ready-go exit, you know, instead of ready-ready-3-2-1-go. I mean, it takes too bloody long.
Yeah, that's fine.
So if you get out on the strut, I get out after you, right? I'm in position, and it's ready-ready-go.
Well, that's it then. The only thing now is to get into the aircraft and go up and do it.
Ah. $6,000, George.
If we can get it. Hey, the strap is gone from here.
Right.
Someone took it away with him.
How much did?
Cut it off.
No, I just don't screw it. Oh, that strap. Sorry, that strap. Yeah. Cut that off.
Plenty forward for takeoff. Can you scale it here?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
I'll get up on my bunker. I'll take away this map, George, you won't want it. Go. 2 feet beyond it. You'll still get back, no problem.
Yeah.
So go good and deep.
Well, I mean, to say that field, there's nothing wrong with landing in that field.
Yeah, but mind the overshoot. Just, you know, make sure those power lines behind you.
I prefer to undershoot rather than overshoot.
Yeah, we're just shading over the hedge. Well, you're going to kick backwards there like a bull.
No, if I'm coming in over the hedge, it'll be out there.
But mind, listen, there's one here goes that side of me, and there's one cross at the very end of that field. Goes out. You see them out in the next field beyond?
Yeah.
And they come out, they cross over the next field here in the back, and then they run over across your line of fields. But look out for them if you do end up over there. 10 kV, they're no joke.
Just leaking away here.
Is it cold up there then?
Yes, I reckon.
Oh dear. Clear prop. Thank you.
All right, let's go.
And oh man, it's cold. This stage, I've done, 307 or 8 jumps. And at this stage, I'm not frightened in an aircraft. I used to be, but not now. I'm quite happy and quite relaxed in an airplane now. I just kind of look on it as a necessary means of transport to get me up to the altitude that I want to get out at. But I must admit that the takeoffs still upset me a little. We're at 4,500 feet. There's a lot of cloud. Big, huge bank of it. And it looks like it's right over the spot where we want to go out. Still. Maybe we'll be lucky. It's not too thick, the cloud. So there's a possibility we could find a hole in it about the place where we want to jump. 4,750 feet now. And we're banking round, circling over the target area to get up to altitude. Hoping to get to 7,000 feet now. Just climbing up in big, wide sweeps. 5,000 feet now. We're climbing out at the moment over a big bog area, an industrial bog where they use the big, yellow, spidery sort of machines from Bord na Mona. You can see them down there. Like little yellow insects, spread-eagled, right in the middle of all those long, straight lines. Flying now over a patchwork of fields, and we're at 5,500 feet. You can see over a huge area from this height. Coming in over a lot of cloud now. But it's not all that thick. You can see through an awful lot of it. 5,500 feet. We're climbing away. What?
Where do you want the spot?
You know the bridge? The bridge over the canal to the left of that, about 2 fields in. We're on the run in. Feel the cold around my head now. Just making a left there, left turn. Another left turn.
Well, this is it. In a couple of seconds, I'll be stepping out the door into free fall.
Just climbing out the door now.
Ready!
Ready! Go! He's watching Vernon. He's had a turn. He's turning around to me now. There we are. Beautiful two man. Absolutely beautiful two man. And it's sad. 5,500 feet. And there goes Morris, he's coming down. Tuck it up. Just tracking away now. Coming in, pulling the ripcord. I'm going to crash you, Tucker. pile of chutes down and just driving along. That's better. Just flying along. That was a beautiful too, man. We could see Morris very clearly that time. I'm just turning around now, backing over sideways a bit. I can see Vernon. I can't see Morris just at the moment. Oh, Morris is a good deal below me. And coming out over the road. Turning now towards the airfield. And that's 7,700 feet. That's a little too high. Just swinging around sideways now. Just putting it into a big turn. Just tack over gently sideways. And I'm at 1,200 feet. Vernon below me spilling off some height. Just gonna turn around now and follow him. I can see him below me there. See Morris as well. I'm at 1,000 feet now, coming in over a farmyard, out towards the road. Gonna fly down the road a bit. Yeah, the windsock isn't too bad. Flying down the road, heading for Vernon now. Turning around towards the target area. That's it. Vernon isn't going to make it in towards the target. I'm just coming in there now. That was nice. That was really nice. Bang on target. Dead center. Ah, yeah. I enjoyed that. Ah. Yeah, man, that was really nice. That was really nice. Whew. I had trouble getting my ripcord out that time. Because of the bulge of the tape recorder. But my joke's my own fault.
Well, I hope that gives you some kind of feel for freefall. You see, to me, freefall is what it's all about. It's the ultimate in so many things. It's total freedom. I mean, when you step out the aircraft door, there's nothing anybody in the world can do to help you. You're completely and totally alone. On your first jump, when you step off the wing strut and static line plays out and then breaks your parachute open, it's like the breaking of an umbilical cord that ties you to the world. From that moment, you are different somehow, altered in some small, strange, but very distinctive way. You see, it's not simply the freedom, because at the same time you have the ultimate in responsibility. You and you alone have control, and if you don't pull your ripcord in time, you'll die. It's as simple as that. Of course, things can go wrong. There are risks. Quite recently, a close friend and teammate of mine was seriously injured when both his parachutes failed to open correctly. Every time you step out the aircraft door, you know you could be killed. It's not a big risk, but it's there nevertheless. And taking that risk makes you aware of the important things in life. You just don't have time for trivialities. And it's uncomfortable. I mean, living on an open field for a couple of days is pretty rough. But it's worth it. Because in skydiving, we've achieved what Icarus and Daedalus dreamed of. A dream that's never been forgotten. The ability to fly like a bird. And we can. In free fall, we can do pretty well anything a bird can do. Except go up. Our arms and our legs are our wings.
Okay, we're
going towards the ground at a great speed, that's true, but for a measured time, for about 20 seconds, for 30 seconds, or for 40 seconds, we're there, we're falling, we're looking at one another, coming together, joining up in the air, tracking away from one another. It's just fantastic.
It's exhilarating. You're very, very awake. I think you're more aware when you're in free fall. You are more aware of everything that's around you. Your whole mind is so keyed up and aware that it gives you a good high.
It's scary. Your stomach sort of goes around. But I've always felt like there's just no way I'd turn back. That's just... I don't even think about that. It's just a matter of getting out there as fast as you can, getting off the strut and doing it right.
In skydiving, there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
And I think that I feel apprehension rather than fear. There is kind of a narrow borderline between the two of them.
When I'm jumping, I'm not afraid. There are times when, in the aircraft, I look out the door and I say, well, you know, are you going to give it up now or are you going to give it up soon? But you always just come over this thing. Then when you're in free fall, you know you'll never stop it.
We're walking along on the ground. We keep our feet on the ground. If we jump up off the ground or jump down off a wall, we expect to hurt ourselves or at least to land on our feet maybe and walk away from it. But there's a fear of falling. And we're people who just want to conquer our fear of falling. By falling.
One of the most frequent accusations from the psychologists who've studied us is that we all have an inherent death wish. Do we?
I don't think there's a death wish element attached to the sport at all. I think it's really a wish to live and to enjoy life.
But acknowledging that it's a dangerous enough activity, how long will individual skydivers continue to jump?
I don't foresee any limit. I suppose there's an ultimate one of age, there's an ultimate one of health. But while I have average health and I'm not restricted by age, then I will continue jumping.
I might have stayed because friends of mine stayed on jumping, but I don't stay in it now for that. I suppose I found out why I'm jumping and I just enjoy it. When you see here, like, we have a lot of jumpers take a trip to England just for a jumping holiday. Now, that really shows where their interests lie, you know, that they are true-born jumpers. They'll go anywhere and jump anywhere just to meet new people. And the kind of people you meet on any drop zone are the very same. They're all slightly jovial and jolly and lively. They're not madcaps, not all of them anyway, but they love a bit of fun. They love jumping out of aeroplanes. They love talking about jumping out of aeroplanes. They love looking at parachutes and messing around with them. They're just given entirely over to the sport. And they see it as a sport to be enjoyed, to be lived to the full.
It's a very, very personal sport, I think. It's one of the first things that struck me about it. It's so quiet and you're all on your own. And there's, you know, nothing else matters and nobody else matters except that you're coming down under this canopy. And it's only going to last a few minutes, but it's worth it. It's really beautiful. A lot of things go through your mind and you've got to think about the jump, and it's an experience that, you know, until you've done it, you can't imagine it at all. Like, I spent a long time waiting till I was 18 before I could do a jump, trying to imagine what it would be like, and yet it was beyond anything I'd imagined, you know. It was really crazy.
I know the reason I continue doing this is because it presents a continuous challenge. No matter what you do in free fall, there's always something else to aim for. Something new to achieve. And while that challenge lasts, I'm not going to walk away from it. I can't. I hope you can begin to understand that now that you've had a taste of what it's like. Maybe this last 40 minutes gives you some insight into the need I and my friends have to continue doing this crazy thing. And I suppose one of my friends, my own teammate Vernon McCarthy, puts it best.
When you see an injured mate on the ground, you always say, you know, am I going to stop just at that instant? But then you think about it logically and you go on jumping again.
How long do you think you're going to continue jumping?
Until it bores me.
I've got a couple more years on you, babe, and that's all. I've had more chances to fly and more places to fall. And it ain't that I'm wiser, it's only that I've spent more time with my back to the wall. And I've picked up a couple more years on you, baby, that's all.